You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We will get to the other news of the day in a few moments. But we begin today with the Milwaukee Bucks boycotting their afternoon playoff game with the Orlando Magic. The Bucks never came on the court for warm-ups. Clearly, one assumes the Bucks took this action in the wake of the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a town just south of Milwaukee. Wilbon, what do you make of the Bucks' decision and what it means both in the moment and historically?
Well, Tony, let's deal with the moment first, because this is still evolving, developing, and breaking, to use that word we use in the news business. The Athletic has already reported that the Rockets and Thunder, scheduled to play at 6-ish Eastern time tonight, will not, that game's going to be off. There's been support expressed by some of the Milwaukee Brewers who are playing at home, were scheduled to against Cincinnati tonight. And as I spin this in the direction I see it going, if the Milwaukee Bucks are willing to boycott a playoff game, not in their town, but a playoff game, are the Milwaukee Brewers then going to want to suit up and go out on a field in Milwaukee and play, given that there's already support in their clubhouse for what's going on in Orlando with the Milwaukee Bucks? So you've got those sort of immediate issues, Tony. And then it's going to reverberate. What are other basketball players thinking? LeBron James, either tweeted or Instagram posted something recently today that expressed his extreme level of frustration. Now, I think that Doc Rivers' remarks last night, powerful and eloquent, they moved me enough that I reached out to Doc at like 2:00 in the morning to just exchange ideas about what is this? And Doc did not plan this. It was an outpouring, which he told me. And I think that resonated, Tony, particularly with players. Doc Rivers and Greg Popovich may be the most sort of respected coaches in the league. Doc Rivers, for younger players, he's a beacon to them in many ways. And I think that this had something to do with what players felt and what we are now seeing executed.
Okay, so let us run the tape of Doc Rivers right now and then come back to this discussion, if we can run that.
We're the ones getting killed. We're the ones getting shot. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country, and this country does not love us back. My dad was a cop. I believe in good cops. We're trying to get them to protect us, just like they protect everybody else. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone.
So I watched this 2 or 3 times today. I have enormous respect for Doc Rivers, liked him a lot as a player, loved him as a broadcaster. I think he's a terrific coach. I think he's a fine and smart man. And I watched this and I could not do anything but agree with every single thing that Doc Rivers said. There was one point, and you didn't hear this on this tape, but he said, essentially, I would just like to be a coach. And those days are gone, because we put athletes not so much on a pedestal, but our availability to athletes is such that we ask them questions every single day. Questions that we don't ask CEOs, questions that we don't ask judges, questions, that we don't ask people around the country, but athletes and coaches are expected to answer. And so Doc Rivers can't just be a coach. He has to be a statesman as well. You've known him almost his whole life, and I know how much you like him. So you can talk about this, but then what we've got to get to is, what do the players hope in the short term and long term to accomplish here?
Well, Tony, I don't know that for players as young as they are, yes, there's thinking going on. I was glad that Fred VanVleet and Norman Powell of Toronto, two guys and names people don't really know, I got to know them last year in the playoffs, because I was standing at their locker and listening to them, because they're just smart, discerning, thoughtful guys. And I just like listening to them. And now here they are at the forefront of something, and Fred Van Vliet expressed something you just said. Wait a minute. How I'm getting asked this question, and what am I committed to do? I mean, they're wondering out loud, and I'm going in this direction because I don't know that they know what the long play is. But, Tony, we can't afford to have the long play. The long play could see 8 to 12 to 15 to 20 more black men, specifically, or women, shot and killed or put a knee on their neck. The long-term play doesn't work anymore. You've got to play for now. And so what you're hearing, and I said this yesterday, is the frustration, the anger, the desperation. And I said this months ago to you because I'm older than those guys. And so my frustration has been, you don't hear me. You don't hear me. You don't even hear in this country. You have the Republican National Convention. They're not hearing this. They're not giving a damn about black lives. They don't even mention black lives. So we've got a portion of people in this country who are not nearly ready to get on the bandwagon, Tony. And this is the frustration and the desperation that you hear, whether it's from Doc Rivers, whether it's from a player, whether it's from whomever. And there are points that we have to get to at some point about what the league is going to do. This league is not going to just push back on these players, as I suspect another league, the NFL, would have done months ago, if not weeks ago. I think that Commissioner Goodell has made a U-turn, but I don't know about the owners backing him. This league is not going to do that to these players and coaches. So the question will be, what does the NBA now want to do?
So this is, thank you for asking that, because we are both trained as newspaper reporters. And I sit here now and I don't have any answers whatsoever. But because of my training, I've got a lot of questions. I look at my notes. What is the immediate goal? Where is the NBA Players Association is this? Where is the team owner in this? Where is Adam Silver? Surely this has been discussed. Surely there is a contingency plan because they're too smart not to think this could have happened. You know, what is the impact? Do they play tomorrow? Do they stop playing? And then my last note, Mike, is I honestly never imagined this, and I'm looking blind now. I have no idea what will happen next. Do you?
I imagined it last night. Yeah, you could see it coming, Tony. Before Doc even talked, just listening to players, I talked to a few people in the bubble and a lot of people outside of it, and this was percolating. Yes, because the short term, Tony, is to get people to stop killing folks. That's the short term. That's the short term goal. Stop shooting me. Stop. Make it so that I am not afraid to see a police car driving down the Dan Ryan in Chicago or the Beltway in Washington, D.C., or wherever the hell you want to be, the 405 in L.A. Make it so that I can not look over my shoulder at a police car and worry if my son is going to be safe in the car. These are the immediate questions that we are dealing with, and this is the emotion you heard in Doc's voice. And how, look, think about the complexity for Doc, the perspective. His father was a cop. I knew Doc's father. I mean, it's so difficult, and the point of view can be different from person to person, but the first goal is stop killing people. And Tony, I told you all spring, I am not singing Kumbaya. I don't believe that the country has made a turn. I don't, because people are still getting shot. When people are not shot anymore, then I'll say, okay, let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But I told you all spring, I'm cynical about this. This is why. Kenosha, Wisconsin is why.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. We will be back in a moment.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NBA has announced that all of tonight's games, including the Blazers and Lakers, have been postponed. But there was NBA action on the court last night, and it involved the triumph of Michael Wilbon. Wilbon, you called it. You called that the Clippers would pound the Mavericks, and they did, 154 to 111. You called that Paul George would snap out of it, and he did, getting 35 points, shooting 12 for 18, and crediting a talk with a psychiatrist about depression and anxiety in the bubble. You didn't call that Marcus Morris would say he didn't deliberately step on Luka Doncic's injured left ankle, which it looks to me like he did. Wilbon, where do you want to start?
Well, Paul George, Tony. I think Paul George is the important development in that he came out and talked about something that, you know, it's incredibly difficult for anybody to talk about that, no matter what they do. And I remember talking about this All-Star weekend past with Kevin Love, just about what would be conceived or perceived as emotional or psychological frailty or just dealing head on with these sorts of issues, which could or could not include depression. Paul George didn't go that far, but he talked about talking to someone, needing some counseling, and he said he just checked out for a minute and what was going on in the bubble bothered him. And I respect the hell out of Paul George for that. And he seemed freed up last night, did he not? With the way he played and conducted himself.
Are you
talked
right?
about it
no,
afterwards.
You got it.
Good for him.
No, and yes, I mean, to get to the game itself, there's no point in getting to the game. The Clippers are a better team, and they should have won this series already. They haven't won it yet. I still think it might go seven if Porzingis can play.
No.
If Porzingis doesn't play,
no.
I don't think that it goes seven at this point. But I did think that Marcus Morris, from what I saw, I thought that was deliberate on Doncic's ankle. And I think that, I mean, he's a player. He's an intimidating, very physical player. And I think that, you know, how did you see that?
Like basketball for 100 years until the last few. You know, I mean, that's what basketball has always been, Tony, the basketball you and I covered in the 80s and 90s. And then about 10 years ago, the league said, we're not having that anymore. So it was a throwback move. And that's what Morris does. He's a big, tough guy. He's brought in for that purpose.
Yeah.
Let's move to baseball, Tone. Chicago baseball specifically. But on the south side, White Sox starter Lucas Giolito got some help from right fielder Adam Engel to record the final out of a no-hitter. Overall, Giolito allowed just one walk to the sorry Pirates while striking out 13 guys. I think he had 30 swings and misses. Giolito was celebrated. He was a celebrated prospect with your Nationals, but just two years ago, had an ERA above six.
Right.
You guys dumped him. So does this feel more like a one-off or the arrival of a star?
So this is sort of personal with me because of what you just mentioned. He was signed to be the next Steven Strasburg, and he was not. And a trade was made. The trade was made, and part of it getting back was Adam Eaton, who is the regular right fielder now, you know, for the Washington Nationals. The Nats really need starting pitching now. Strasburg is out for the rest of the year. Scherzer's given up 100 home runs every single game. Corbin is in and out, and Sanchez actually looks like he might be done. So the question comes to me in my mind, was it wrong to trade Giolito for Eaton? And the answer is 1,000 times out of 1,000, no, wasn't wrong at all. Because the Nats won a World Series. I'm happy that Lucas Giolito is doing very well now in Chicago. I'm happy for him. And I'm happy that partially as a result of that trade, the Nats won a World Series.
All right, I'm going to crawl out of Nats corner now since he's wearing a Chicago White Sox uniform and point out that while the Cubs got all the attention early on, because the Cubs got off to a 13-3 start, slowed down, still in first place in their division, but, you know, struggling a little bit. The Tigers beat them up last night. The White Sox, Tony, are the best team in town. And there were a lot of people who saw this coming throughout the offseason, even going back to last season when I thought the White Sox sort of underperformed. This should have been coming late last season. But now they can hit it out with the best of them. They've got, they're sort of Dodger-like in their ability to just blast home runs. And, Tony, if you get a pitcher like Giolito, if you get a guy like him going, I don't care if it's one season. I know it's a 60-game season, and people may want to put an asterisk next to it. But the White Sox have got it going on in a way in Chicago that they have not since 2005 when they won a World Series. No, they're not as popular as the Cubs. And as Kenny Williams once told us, now the president of the White Sox, it would take two or three World Series victories to make that happen. But if we concentrate on right now, the White Sox look as good as anybody in baseball.
Good to hear you spend a lot of time in Chicago and root for both teams again. We move now to Phil Mickelson's victory this afternoon in his first ever Champions Tour appearance. Mickelson shot a combined 22 under. He won by three shots. Wilbon, how'd you feel about Lefty playing in this tournament and taking this money?
Good. This is what he should do. Look, Tony, I mean, I don't know when I started paying really close attention to the what I still call the senior tour, the Champions Tour.
Senior tour, baby.
Maybe 20 years ago. Maybe when I turned 40, I started paying attention to what the guys doing who are 50 because I'd watched them play anyway. And so, Tony, the guys who win, like 75% of the guys who win are 50, 51, 52, 53 years old, except Bernard Langer, who's like 64 and still winning, okay? But the rest of them, when you turn 50, it is time to grab the gold, baby, because that's what you're going to do because you're still playing like you were playing on the regular PGA Tour. That's what Phil's going to do. I bet Phil could win like six of his first 20 times on the Champions Tour. He could win that many, maybe more.
Six of his first 20.
Yeah.
Phil could win six of his first six. He could win 18 of his first 20.
Not that big.
This is like going to the ticket window at the track and putting your hand out and saying, just give me all the money you have. He is by far the best player on the senior tour. I was surprised he deigned to even play on it, but he didn't qualify, I think, for the FedEx playoffs, so his dance card was free. He's going to roll through this thing the way Dustin Johnson rolled through that event last weekend. Don't underestimate Phil.
I got him winning six times out of 20. Nobody does that except Tiger in like 2000. Let's not get crazy. Let's not get nuts.
Stop. Six out of six.
How many of the next 10 will Phil win? Give me a real number.
Eight.
Oh,
eight.
God,
still to come. The Pacers part ways with Nate McMillan. The replacement they're looking at may surprise you.
And NC State pushes back a football game schedule for 2 weeks from now.
You're underestimating Phil.
No, I'm not. Phil wouldn't even take the bet you just put out there. Phil wouldn't even take that.
I'll take it.
I'm not going to win 8
out of 10. Tim Petrovich.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 35th birthday, David Price. Price was traded to the Dodgers from the Red Sox as part of the Mookie Betts deal. But Price opted out of this season, saying in July that baseball was not putting the health of its players first. To help the Dodgers minor leaguers cope with the financial hardships as a result of the coronavirus, Price pledged to give each minor leaguer who was not on the Dodgers 40-man roster $1,000 in the month of June. Price gave up his own salary. He helped players he didn't even know. Price led the majors in strikeouts in 2014. He led the American League in ERA in 2012 and 2015. He won the AL Cy Young in 2012 and AL Comeback Player of the Year in 2018 when he helped the Red Sox win the World Series by starting and relieving and winning two games. Over the years, Price has had a rather contentious relationship with the baseball press. but it's hard not to respect what he has done during this pandemic.
Tony, respect it, even admire it. I mean, he did something that was so thoughtful and measured and selfless. So I don't care about all that other stuff. I mean, when people started talking about opt out, the word opt out took on something that was a little cynical. It shouldn't. Not if you consider what David Price did to opt out and what he did with his own money, money from his own pockets. Cheers to David Price.
A not so happy anniversary, Paul Molitor. On this day, 33 years ago, the Brewers Hall of Fame third baseman saw his 39-game hitting streak come to an end when he went 0-for-4 in a 1-0 extra inning win over Cleveland. In fact, Molitor was in the on-deck circle when pinch hitter Rick Manning drove in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th. The hometown fans in Milwaukee's County Stadium were more interested in Molly's hitting streak than in the game, and they booed Manning as he walked off the field. Molitor described the booing as, quote, a distortion of priorities. He said he walked up to Manning and Manning said, sorry. And Molitor said, sorry? You won the game. After Joe DiMaggio set the record of 56 straight in 1941, only Pete Rose's 44 in 1978 has exceeded Molitor's 39. Molitor was a first ballot Hall of Famer in 2004 after 21 seasons, a .306 batting average, and 3,319 hits, which is 10th all-time.
Tony, you know what I thought? Molitor played and almost lived in Robin Yount's shadow, even though I think if you pressed me, I'm going to tell you Molitor was a better player than Yount. And look, the tandem, they were great. But I'm just saying, if you made me choose one over the other, would you not choose Molitor over Yount?
I think it's a coin flip for me.
It probably is.
Happy trails to two Phillies, thanks to Victor Robles. In the sixth inning of yet another disappointing loss for the foundering Washington Nationals last night, the Phillies had Gene Segura on first when Alec Bohm hit a screaming line drive to center field that looked like it was going to the wall. Not only did Victor Robles leap to catch the ball, but after he caught it, he turned back to the infield and launched a 288-foot strike to first base to double up Segura, who had gone around second base anticipating a hit. Robles was on the warning track. He was facing the stands. He not only threw the ball a remarkable distance, but he threw it 85 miles an hour on the fly to his Drubal Cabrera. Nats fans have grown accustomed to Robles going over the wall to bring back home runs, as he did last week to Atlanta's Austin Riley. But this play was totally unexpected. Now, if he could only hit 26 strikeouts in 25 games, but I'm bitter because the Nats are in last place in the division. It's a great play. Forgive me.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that whining. Tony, if that doesn't remind you of your hero, Willie Mays, I don't know what does. The catch, the throw. By the way, I don't want to hear all these NFL guys who want to give you all this guff about how great their arms are. They ain't no greater than Victor Robles' arm. I guarantee you that. I'll take his arm against anybody.
Great prospect, as is Juan Soto. One update, The Athletic reports that NBA players have called for a meeting tonight in Orlando to determine the next steps. Mike, your thoughts on that? They're all in the bubble together.
They're going to need to have this meeting. It's going to be one of the most important meetings, not just of this season or the bubble, but of their lives.
Do you think they go to Adam Silver with their decision, or do you think they bring Adam Silver in?
No, they don't bring him in. They'll talk to him. They'll talk to a lot of people, Tony, but they first need to talk to each other.
Okay. Let's go to the big finish. The Pacers fired head coach Nate McMillan. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's always talk about, what if D'Antoni becomes available? Nate McMillan's a good coach on his own. And the Pacers have been in the playoffs. I don't understand this. I really don't. NC State's football game with Virginia Tech moves from September 12th to the 26th after positive COVID tests. Your thoughts?
I think we're going to see this happen a lot. I think it's going to be very hard to get straight through the season without postponements. Giannis won NBA Defensive Player of the Year in a landslide. I assume that's okay with you?
Yeah, I voted for him, Tony, narrowly ahead of Anthony Davis and then Gobert. But I thought that Giannis deserved that this year. And Anthony Davis has been great. Lightning, Bruins tonight, series tied at 1. Who do you like more?
Take an original six team. I'm going to take Boston. Last one, Serena Williams lost in three sets last night. Are you concerned about her U.S. Open prospects?
Yes, this is the normal rhythm and walk up to her U.S. Open preparation or performance. So, yes, concerned.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. We're bumped tomorrow by the NBA playoffs, we think.
Maybe.
Back Friday, you can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts, you knuckleheads.
Charlie Dore, shout out.